You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
For 4 years, energy giant Bruce Power has been trying to get approval for 4 nuclear power plants in Alberta. The provincial government seemed warm to the idea. 2 years ago, Alberta's conservative government announced it would approve nuclear power developments on a case-by-case basis. Yet last month, Bruce Power declared it would no longer pursue this project. Elena Shaharl is the chairperson of Citizens Advocating the Use of Sustainable Energy, or CAUSE. CAUSE is a member organization of the province-wide coalition to keep Alberta nuclear-free. We reached Elena in Calgary. Congratulations, Elena, on the victory.
Yeah, we're very pleased to see Bruce Power leave us.
What was the reason Bruce Power gave as to why Alberta needed nuclear energy developments?
Well, they tried to make the case that the electricity would be needed for the province of Alberta, but in actual fact, the very large reactors, 4,000 megawatts and all that they planned to build in the Peace River region, were intended for export to the United States, clearly, because they just was way too much electricity to be used just here in the province.
And now I understand there was a bill, Bill 50, that had an impact on the cancellation of this project. What was Bill 50?
Bill 50 was passed by the provincial government to allow the building of some very large 500 kilovolt transmission lines between Edmonton and Calgary. What was unique about it is that it could be done without any needs assessment to see if they were actually needed. Now, without those lines, there would have been no way for Bruce Power to be able to transmit the power south for that amount of electricity. And Alison Redford, the new premier, has suspended that bill for the moment. And it looks very unlikely that these transmission lines will go ahead. There's a lot of land owner opposition to them as well.
And that would have been necessary for exports to the United States?
Absolutely, to even to bring anything to southern Alberta, although it's questionable whether we would have needed the electricity here, because there's a lot of development of wind power, solar power, and so on, and as well as local cogeneration plans. In fact, ENMAX came out opposed to those transmission lines because there just wasn't a need for them. Not only that, but it would have increased the electrical rates for consumers, because they were the ones that were going to pay for these transmission lines. They would have ended up on their electrical bills.
And I understand Atomic Energy of Canada Limited was recently sold off to SNC-Lavalin. What impact did this have on the Bruce Power proposal?
Yeah, I think there are numerous developments that have led to Bruce Power deciding to leave. In terms of the sale of ACL to SNC-Lavalin, what that meant was that the billions of dollars of subsidies that have come from taxpayers over decades was surely going to be at least reduced. That would make it more difficult to finish the development of the large nuclear reactors that AACL has been working on. No nuclear reactor in the world has been built without significant government subsidies, so this certainly would have had an impact on the business case for nuclear development in northern Alberta.
What kinds of organizing did it take to raise the issue and to make it a significant one in Alberta?
Well, there were a number of groups worked together, and there was a lot of activity happening in early in 2007. Our group formed CAUSE, and later that year, the province-wide coalition. But what we were focused on is trying to give Albertans the whole picture about nuclear, because the government was presenting a very one-sided issue, and clearly were gung-ho ahead for having this development happen. So we brought in speakers, international experts such as Helen Caldicott, national experts such as as Gordon Edwards. We also organized petitions and rallies. We got out in the community, and so I think there was a lot. I think we were certainly a factor in the end result. The most important thing, I think, was educating media politicians and citizens about the fact that there are significant risks to nuclear, that nuclear accidents such as Fukushima can, in fact, happen, and the implications of them on health and property, and the financial risks of which that really at the end, the price of the new nuclear reactor ACR 1000 that was being the prime one considered for the Peace River region was priced at $13 billion each. It really didn't make any economic sense.
Right, and I understand now that the conservative government, I think you mentioned that the new premier, they're changing their stance on nuclear development as well. Is that correct?
Well, during the PC provincial leadership campaign that took place last fall, all three top leadership contenders, including the now premier Alison Redford, rejected nuclear power as an option for Alberta. So to make that kind of unequivocal statement in the middle of a leadership race is really a reflection of where the broader PC party and members as a whole stand on the issue. So there's clearly a softening within the PC party. Moreover, the fairly new Wildrose Alliance party that formed in 2008, in their party's 2010 convention, they defeated a motion to support nuclear development in Alberta, and nuclear is notably absent from their energy policy. Some of the political alliances that Bruce Power had within the PC government, such as former Energy Minister Mel Knight and Environment Minister Rob Renner, are actually not running in the next upcoming provincial election. So really, nuclear doesn't go ahead without that nuclear support, without that political support, and it seems to have completely dried up from them. I understand the community support in the Peace River region that was very soft. It was a limited a pool of residents that were for nuclear development completely vanished after Fukushima in March, the Fukushima nuclear accident, and that pretty well killed the community support that was there.
It's kind of interesting that the big oil was actually against nuclear, is that correct?
Certainly that's not where the support was coming. They never publicly came out with a stand against it, but they were very lukewarm to the idea. There was some discussion providing electricity to the tar sands with nuclear, but there wasn't even the technology. Not only that, but they're now powering oil development with cogeneration using natural gas. That's much less expensive. In fact, they sell some of it back to the grid, so there certainly wasn't a need for it. And if there were a nuclear accident in the oil sands, well, that would be the end of the oil sands because of the contamination. So it really wasn't something that the oil industry organizations such as CAP were warm to at all.
What impact does this victory for the anti-nuclear movement have on other campaigns and movements for sustainable energy in Alberta?
Well, I think the major impact is the fact that the provincial government has realized that they have to start listening to citizen concerns, and I think that's what is a positive change. So that, that's the Bill 50 where there was not going to be any public hearing, the nuclear no needs assessment, the nuclear consultation didn't involve public hearings. I think there's a softening and a receptiveness to hear environmental concerns from the public. And so a possible implication is that the government may be more receptive to listening to these concerns for the environmental development and take some more environmentally responsible choices.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've just been speaking with Elena Shaharl, chairperson of the Calgary group, Citizens Advocating the Use of Sustainable Energy.